Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell. Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season 4. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
The Star Wars universe is constantly expanding.
But how the heck are you going to keep tabs on it without a holocron? And where in the rim can I score the juiciest news and rumors?
Ah, you seek State of the Empire, Consequence of Sound's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in all the wrong places.
We dig into the Sarlacc pit of the internet for the hottest intel in the galaxy far, far away. Make Indiana Jones inquiries and keep watch for the latest on Willow.
Find us on consequenceofsound.net or wherever you procure fine podcasts. It's the show you're looking for. Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from right now, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with us as we publish multiple of these interviews every single week. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Paul Banks of the band Interpol. Yes, they've got that brand new record called Marauder, and we talk plenty about it. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about them touring their landmark album, Turn On the Bright Lights, for the 15th anniversary leading into this record, how that affected it. Also, the mini movies that sort of make up the songs, especially that first single, The Rover, its concept of narcissism, the possible politics that play into it, and if there could be a sequel that goes along to it. There's also some discussion on how the lounge singers and crooners of the Sinatra era sort of tie into parts of the record, and what will happen to the songs that didn't make the album. Paul Banks gives us a little bit of a scoop on that one as well. It's Kyle Meredith with Interpol.
Hi there.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for doing this, and congrats on the new album.
Thank you very much.
It's always a fun little phrase that I'm working on. Congrats on the new album. I think you all are towed that a lot, but I'm never exactly sure what that means to an artist.
That's customary. That's pretty... No, much appreciated. I think it's sort of like, congrats on... It's. I think it's the right comment.
Yeah, okay. I was like, you did it!
Lands well. Yeah, man. Bringing something into the world.
That's right. I kind of want to start where I know it seems like a lot of people have started, and that's in the last couple years, because it seems like the history has been swirling around you all before this, and I don't know if that's more of a projection from like my side of things, from like the interviewer's side of things, or if you really feel that, but with the 15th anniversary of Turn On the Bright Lights and doing that tour, with the Meet Me in the Bathroom kind of putting the whole story together, with it really being about 20 years since the band started, does it seem like any of that ended up finding its way into playing into how this record sounds and exists?
I think that the experience of being on the road and doing the concerts around Bright Lights kind of refreshed our minds and bodies about what live feels like, and sort of solidified this idea that this is where the songs wind up, is, you know, here on the stage with our fans in front of us. And I think we kind of kept a sense of that in the recording studio. Like, let's let this record capture a live feeling. And so that sort of means not too many overdubs and, you know, really run them down performances where it's sort of not about stopping and fixing or doing 50 takes and then, you know, piecing it all together. It's just more the band in the room playing straight to tape. And I think by being on the road with Bright Lights, it just got us in that headspace of that sort of simplicity of live music.
Because I know no band wants to, you know, be stuck in the past whatsoever. It's always about moving forward. But there is a sense of this one, especially, I guess, compared to the last couple ones, like, man, there's a really strong classic Interpol sound to this, which I don't think anybody's complaining about whatsoever.
No, that's great. I mean, I think I'm super excited about this record, and if it sounds classic within the context of our sound, that sounds great to me too.
There was also the Banks and Steel stuff in there. You know, I know you've always been a big hip hop fan. You know, that's where a lot that you came from musically. You know, as far as youth goes, at least that I've read about anyway. And sort of a similar question. You know, it seems like to me that would have been a dream to have had, you know, all of those artists being able to kind of do something with them. Was that a good itch to finally scratch?
It was. You know, it wasn't so much that there was an itch to, you know, record with necessarily those musicians. I think it was really just, I'm a fan of the genre and I'm a huge fan of RZA's. And it turned out that RZA and I have a good creative dynamic. So, you know what I mean? I didn't really have expectations, or I hadn't really had a formal thought in my mind, like, one day, you know, I'll make a record like this. It was just that from a really good creative rapport that RZA and I have, you know, that record came out of that process. And then it allowed us to work with Method Man and Master Killa, and Kool Keith is on there, and Florence. It was a fantastic experience. It was really great sort of grand collaborative process for me.
And just the timing of it all seems insane, because doing that record, touring the Bright Lights record, and then, I don't know, at some point you found time to get inspired to go in and write The Marauder. I mean, where does that all come from, you know, this timing-wise for you?
I mean, all of these things do seem to take a long time behind the scenes. The RZA record we worked on for years. We were, you know, demoing tracks for that project. And with Interpol, I think it's just another kind of testament to, I think, the beauty of collaboration, because it's not, there's something very reactive when you have a good band chemistry. So if I'm stuck for ideas, but then Daniel starts playing an incredible chord progression, then all of a sudden I get a flood of ideas. So I think that's what keeps things refreshed. I think if you're a solo artist just putting out, you know, albums that you write and record, I think there's probably you're going to perhaps encounter that burnout of creativity sooner. But when you get to work with other people who sort of trigger your creativity and are filling in a lot of gaps in the total picture, then it's just really a joy of kind of bouncing around ideas with people. So that generates its own energy in a way.
You seem to have fun with maybe the characters of the stories. I mean, and I say that in a way, like, when I talk to a lot of artists, they'll write a song and they'll figure out what it means years later, kind of a thing, subconsciously. There's something about yours that almost feels like, I don't know, like you're writing these tiny movies inside the songs. And we hear that, you know, as you talk about, you know, what's going on in a song like Number 10, obviously The Rover, you know, in that first single. I mean, is that still sort of how it works for you this time around? I mean, are you kind of making mini movies, or are these still like any other artist, maybe like stream of consciousness and like, oh, wow, that's a cool story that came from nowhere?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things. I definitely like the idea of them being mini movies. I often see a lot of visuals, like I make loads of videos to our songs in my mind. Yeah, I think a song like The Rover did kind of write itself in that way, where it's sort of like a character outside of myself that I do sort of just fall into this world, and it is like following a character around and just thinking, what would this person say? And then there's a lot of fun in writing dialogue that would be, if it were like a screenplay that you're writing, it's like dialogue that isn't, you know, close to your experience, but it's something that you're fascinated by and you get to like write for the villain, for instance. But I also think in terms of things being kind of cinematic, you know, there's structure to the music of a song. So I think, you know, Daniel has a great architecture to the pieces that he presents to the band. And then filling, you know, the vocal component of that is also following that blueprint of where the music moves from section to section. So it's a collaborative process that I think allows us to get that cinematic quality.
And I should bring up the rover while we're here. I wonder if I'm reaching, but it seems like, you know, when you have a song about sort of a cult figure, you know, preaching doomsday in a way, that seems like really interesting timing in an era where narcissism is sort of running rampant around the country. And I wonder if there is any parallel with maybe what's happening in the real world.
I mean, I do think that there's a, it's a fun thing. I think it is, it's a resonant archetype. You know, this person who sort of speaks without a filter or says very outlandish things that at the core of them is like a pretty simple message. And I think then what can happen is a large group of people can sort of just like identify with this simple message and they get caught up in the conviction of the person who's saying it. But that person may not be a really measured thinker who's sort of taking a lot of things into account, sort of a little bit more flash and bluster. And I feel like there's a part of us that sort of can respond to that. So I just think it's a human phenomena that happens often, and in a way I think maybe measured thinking is a little, or subtle thinking might not appeal to, you know, it's just how do I dig myself out of this hole? I don't know. I think there's a dynamic that can happen anywhere at any time in human history, and that's sort of, I think, the character of a cult leader speaking something very exaggerated and can resonate with a following. I think it's just something that happens through time, and it's an interesting phenomenon.
So, and again, maybe I'm going down the wrong path, but the reason why I sort of went that direction too is because when I hear about the artwork, that it's in this long way tied to Richard Nixon and that whole campaign. And that's what I mean. It's like, man, there are all these things kind of swirling around. And maybe that's just the universe kind of putting them in place like that. But it looks very interesting in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful image. And I think it kind of resonates on a few different frequencies. And you can look at it through different prisms, whether it be that, you know, you see some kind of overtones of political commentary or a parallel with the landscape today, or if you just look at it as a piece of photography, which is just a striking shot of a guy at a table, seemingly very vulnerable and very powerful at the same time. I think it just sort of, it works in a number of ways. And I feel lucky. I think the design came out great for this album cover.
That character in the rover, have you ever written multiple songs about one idea? Because it feels like there could be more to that story musically. Like, if you were ever looking for that, you know, that thematic string of songs, I feel like you've got it right there.
Yeah, there could be a longer arc to that character for sure. I think, I mean, it was sort of fun when we did the video for that song. The narrative that we sort of set up there became like the prequel to what you hear in the song. And so it's like, wow, this character, you know, we've already sort of started to build that world where he exists beyond just the lyrics to the track. And so, yeah, we've got a prequel, we've got the song, and then maybe there could be, you know, the saga continues, you know, the rover goes west.
what is it usually? It's usually here. Like, yeah, takes New York or takes Manhattan. It's
yeah.
And I guess that sort of segs into how you've talked about maybe the bigger character in it behind, you know, the Marauder, as sort of a version of a past you in a way. I'd wondered, like, is this the type of character you hear about the next day, like, what the hell happened last night type of character?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I sort of don't have, I've never had the experience of sort of waking up and saying, like, what did I do? You know, I've never had a blackout, but I think it definitely, it's that part of you that maybe wakes up with some thoughts of like, what's going on with my life? I think it is a little bit, it's that loose, messy part of us that comes up sometimes, the irresponsible, reckless part.
Because, you know, again, and it's an age that you're able to finally look at that. What I wonder is, you know, for a lot of artists, the next turn that you would be looking at is, I don't know, the midlife album, I guess, is what it comes to. Like, oh, and this is what happens now to that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think, you know, this idea of a marauder, you know, that could be an approach that you take to the stock market. I think it's something that's always there. It's that part of you that sort of walks a little too close to the edge. It's not really, you know, localized just to youth. I think it's, you know, it's just that wild streak that I think we all have.
I want to ask about another song because I don't know anything about it, and it's become one of my favorites. It's the one that closes the record, called It Probably Matters. I've really been hooked on that one, you know, and it comes across in several different ways to me. Like, in one sense, I heard it as an apology, and in another sense, I heard it as a reflection. And I was wondering if you could talk about what might be happening in that song.
I mean, I think that it's kind of like you can come through an experience with a little gem of wisdom, and that gem of wisdom, like, you're going to carry that sort of forward. So it's also kind of like, all right, how does this information impact, you know, my next move? And so, but it's sort of through this dark phase or this, you know, traumatic event that happened that you gain this wisdom. So there is sort of a, you know, there's an upside that you're a wiser person now, but then there's that sense of what next? And you know, am I going to, how long will I carry this piece of wisdom, or will it just get lost in my satchel? So I think it's kind of, yeah, it's a, I don't know about an apology. I think it's a little bit just more reflective. And then there's that sense of looking ahead with some encouragement.
Your vocals are doing a really cool strut sort of in that, almost, I don't know, as I hear it anyway, a little bit of that Sinatra Vegas, a little Tom Jones, whatever you
ooh, mean. Yeah, I like that. Little loungy.
It's a little loungy. I mean, and of course, against the music, right. You have a very Interpol-esque type of song going on behind that. But yeah, there's a bit of a strut over that. And yeah,
I mean, I like that term. Strut sounds good. And I definitely, yeah, it's cool. I think that was a piece of music that I was really, really partial to while we were building this record. That was a song that I really wanted to get the vocal right. And I just felt like we were onto something. It's an atmosphere that I think is really nice in that track in particular, and I think Fridman did a great job helping us realize that it becomes this quite a broad, expansive song. But I think I did kind of, I think the atmosphere in my mind, when you bring up like lounge singers or crooners, that did feel like the atmosphere that it evoked for me in the first place. And then I think we got to even take it further.
I love it. We have heard a little bit about, you know, there were several songs left off of this that could have easily been on the record given a different track list. A lot of those get left behind, but is there any desire to maybe put those out in some fashion before, you know, the anniversary edition rolls around?
Yeah, I think so. I think every song that we finished, we really like. So I think sometimes you do have to edit an album and you do have to kind of curate which songs best complement each other, but that doesn't mean that, you know, a song that might get left off is any less good, really. There's just, you know, they can't all come to the party. So I think we definitely have some intention of letting that music be heard.
Yeah,
but
cool.
More to come on that.
All right, we're baited.
Perfect.
Well, thank you, Paul, so much for this. And again, congratulations on The Marauder, and I really do mean that. I love this record, and I can't wait to see how this one sounds live out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, big thanks to Paul Banks of Interpol. The new album is called The Marauder. Hey, don't forget, wherever you're listening from right now, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with these interviews as we publish multiple episodes every single week. If you're listening to the podcast version at iTunes or Podchaser or any of those sites, we'd love it if you would give it a rating and leave a review as well. Then you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, and where you'll also find some bonus episodes of this series. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.